Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of December 3rd, 2022. Turns out that right now, we don't know the carbon dioxide level in the atmosphere, but a few days ago, it was 417.31 parts per million, well above the 350 parts per million we need to get to. The reason we don't know what the carbon dioxide level is right now is because the Mauna Loa volcano in Hawaii is erupting and is disrupting the measurements taken by the Keeling Group on that volcano over in Hawaii. So in a few weeks, we'll be back to work. But bottom line is, we are way over our carbon dioxide targets and need to get to work. And it turns out there's only 2,588 days left until the year 2030, by which we must cut our carbon dioxide emissions by 50%. So time to get to work. Anyway, when hot weather hits, everybody turns on their air conditioner, demand for electric power skyrockets, and the grid, in quotation marks, the utilities start to turn on additional power plants. Those additional power plants are called peaker plants for obvious reasons, because they're matching the peak of the electricity demand. But often enough, those peaker plants, which only turn on, you know, a few hundred hours a year, right? Those peaker plants tend to be located in places that have the least political power to push back and resist the presence of those things in their neighborhood, right? That's just the way the world has worked until now. So what happens is that what you might call a disadvantaged community gets the peaker plant and gets all that pollution on a hot day in the summertime, and it's all kind of cruel and unfair. There are, of course, health consequences to the emissions that come from any power plant, but peaker plants are in the same category. This stuff that comes out of the chimney that's not good for people. And so it is playing out in Massachusetts right now. There is a peaker plant that has been proposed and permitted, and in fact, is under construction in Peabody, Massachusetts. And that peaker plant has pretty much run under the radar for the last 7 years. It got all of its permits. Nobody knew about it until about 2 years ago, when the alarm started to ring that there was something bad going on in Peabody. So as it turns out, there's never been an assessment of the impact, the health impact of putting a peaker plant into Peabody, which already has a whole bunch of other dirty factories right in the neighborhood of the peaker plant, okay? And so it turns out that with the law passed last summer, the climate law passed last summer, this Peabody peaker plant would have been subject to an environmental impact review and a community health impact assessment, but it's grandfathered in because they started this project in Peabody, goes all the way back to 2015. So you've got a sad story playing out, as it has in many other places in Peabody, but this time there's opposition. There are people pointing out what's the unfairness of this whole thing and what needs to be done. Well, it turns out that one of the big questions is the health impact of a peaker plant on the local population. That's usually embodied in something called a community health impact assessment, CHIA. And of course, that's a big job to do. But it turns out that MCAN had the good fortune to find a scientist who could help at least set a baseline for the current state of the health of the people in Peabody compared to the rest of the state. And that's a good thing. And we are delighted to have her with us today. We are pleased to be joined by Catherine Rogers, who's a Master of Public Health and is a PhD student at the Boston University School of Public Health. And she has done a study of Peabody and the health impacts there. So, Catherine, welcome aboard. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Ted.
That's great. So I just gave a long and somewhat rambling story about the peaker plant in Peabody and why discussing the health impacts are important. So did I get that story right? I mean, how would you explain, you know, what you're up to?
Yeah, you did. So as you mentioned, I'm a PhD student at BU School of Public Health. And over the summer, I did work with Mass Climate Action Network, really to answer this question of, you know, in the absence of a true environmental impact report or community health impact assessment, well, at least what's the starting, where are we starting? What is the health status of the community surrounding the proposed peaker plant right now that's located in Peabody? And the interesting thing that I learned in doing this work was that where the construction has started at the Peabody Municipal Light Plant, there's actually two existing peaker plants that are already currently operating there. So it's not just the addition of, you know, going from zero to one. It's actually going from two to three.
Right, right. And I think there are a whole bunch of other. I mean, I personally know I used to zoom up and down I-95 right by Peabody. So the high, you know, there's a big highway not too far away. There's all kinds of stuff in that neighborhood, right? Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. There's other, you know, facilities that are regulated by Mass Department of Environmental Protection that, you know, have air quality permits, which basically means they are polluting facilities.
Right.
So there's several other of those. And then there's also, you know, historically, Peabody, there are a lot of tanneries in Peabody. And so while those are no longer active, you won't find those in a registry now. There is a legacy of pollution, you know, in Peabody and in, you know, in the Northeast in general, but also, you know, super hyper locally to right around where this peaker plant is located.
It's an interesting point. The, you said a tannery. So, I mean, you don't mind to think of it, but a tannery basically making leather is some pretty nasty chemicals that have historically gone into making leather, right? This goes back thousands of years, right? But at the same time, at the turn of the previous century, I guess, 1900 or so, that Peabody area was huge for making shoes, right? And that's why they had these leather plants. So you probably have all this leftover stuff in the ground from the tanneries that dates back 100 years. And that's what we're now going to build this peaker plant on, sort of.
Yeah.
You know, generally speaking, right?
I thought that was one thing that was interesting. I was hoping to find some data on perhaps soil testing or water testing in the nearby wetlands, the peaker plant before the construction started. You know, you're disrupting soil when you're doing construction. I don't really know the details about the right. construction. In any case, I thought that I would find something. It turns out that there was no soil testing before the construction started. I reached out to DEP, and that is not a standard protocol, to my understanding.
It seems it's all very convenient. If you keep your eyes closed, you don't see bad things, right? And so in order to get these power plants, these things going, everyone just kind of nods, and you know, it requires pushback from the community, which I think is happening in Peabody now, to demand a little bit more thoughtfulness when these things go forward, right?
Yeah, yeah. And as you said, you know, if this, you know, was starting now, I think certainly the regulations are different. Different things would be required of this project.
So tell me this. It's my understanding that this, so just one deeper level of detail on this Peabody peaker plant is that it is being built by a coalition of municipal light plants, that is to say MLPs. And these are, again, an MLP is like a utility for a small town, right? Let's just leave it there. 14 of those got together, one of which was Peabody, and they all decided they were going to build a peaker plant in Peabody. And it's my understanding that your report, that what you did in the report was to basically sort of look for the health data in those 14 different communities and sort of balance off where Peabody was versus the other communities that are in this coalition? Or did you compare the Peabody health, I don't know, status. Maybe you can explain how you did that. But I mean, the Peabody health with the rest of the state. What sort of stuff were you looking at?
Okay. So, yes, I did both of those things. But primarily, the primary question that I was trying to answer was, what is the baseline health status of the populations that live very close to the proposed peaker plant?
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to do that, I basically just drew a circle with the 2 kilometer radius around the location of the proposed peaker plant. And so that ended up capturing people who live in Peabody and Salem and Danvers, mm-hmm. as well as some people in Beverly.
And just for the metrically challenged people out there, 2 kilometers, correct me if I'm wrong, Catherine, is 1.6 miles, right?
Like that, yeah.
Roughly, right? So is it like a mile and a half around the plant is what you're looking at? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no real, that's not a hard and fast rule. So, you know, if you live just outside of that boundary, it's not to say that wind patterns wouldn't carry some pollutants there. It's just kind of for the sake of convenience that, mm-hmm. you know, that was determined and that's been done before as kind of a perimeter around which people live within close proximity. So for the purposes of convenience for the U.S. Census Bureau, populations in the U.S. are divided into census tracts. And maybe on average, there's about 4,000 people who live within a census tract. And within collecting census data, not only do you get information about people like income, race, ethnicity, education, but the CDC also then collects health data. So I was able to pull from those public data sets to look at the health status of adults who live within those census tracts within that circle.
It's a very precise way of saying the people who live near the power plant, right? In a sense, but it's a way you get your hands on it and actually talk about numbers, right? Good.
Yep, exactly. And so what I did was actually fairly simple. I just compared the average, disease prevalence of, the diseases reported by the CDC within the people who live close to the Peabody peaker plant as compared to the rest of the state, everyone else who lives in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did things because the Census Bureau also collects additional information, I was able to control for things such as lack of health insurance, income, race, ethnicity, and total population and right. smoking status. And basically what control means in that sense is just to say like the association that you then see is not due to smoking, for example. So I'm kind of taking those things out. I'm holding those things constant.
Right, which is the right thing to do. So you keep trying to narrow the basis on which you're comparing the data to make it more and more pure so that you're really talking about the purity in the sense of you're trying to identify the impact of living near these plants, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And so what did you find out? What was the, after that careful, thoughtful thing, which probably involved a lot of Excel spreadsheets and downloading data sets and things, what did you come to?
So this, like I said, I think, these disease comparisons are for adults. And I did find, some significant differences between the people who live closer to the peaker plant. And so I can go through those. And the first one I'll start with, I'm going to go alphabetically here. Asthma is the first disease outcome that was significantly different. And it is significantly lower in the people who live closer to the peaker plant than the rest of the state.
Really?
And that is, that was first interesting finding. And then the rest I'm going to talk about actually go in the opposite direction, where all cause cancer significantly higher in the population that lives closer to the peaker plant. And again, this is not due to lack of health insurance, smoking, or even right. environmental justice status, which we can talk more about what that really means. Chronic kidney disease is also higher in the population that lives closer to the peaker plant. Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease is also higher.
That's the COPD that you see on the ads all the time, right? That you get certain, they're pushing medicine to help you breathe. That's the COPD. You're saying that's higher in PBD near the peaker plant, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And Catherine, just let me, when you say significant, that means that statistically, you know, on average, you're able to say, yeah, this is a real difference. It's not just a fluke. Isn't that the case?
That's right. That's right. It's really, it's just a statistical term. And, you know, the other thing that I think is kind of interesting about just talking about the numbers just for a second mm-hmm. is that you might think, well, gosh, you're comparing really very different numbers, right? You have, there's 47,000 people who live in, who were captured in this, you know, living close to the peaker plant. That's that population. Whereas the rest of Massachusetts is something around like 6,500,000. So these are pretty different numbers. So it's actually, it's interesting to me that, you know, running these statistical tests, even though we're comparing pretty different numbers, that these outcomes are still significantly different. Because I think, you know, the more different your populations are, you might have wider confidence intervals or less confidence in your, you know, in what you're finding. But in any case, yeah, these truly are significantly different.
Right. And these are, that is to say, they're meaningful. You can identify them, and they're not, as I say, they're not flukes. That's so. Yeah. So you were listening. See, when I interrupted you, I'm so sorry. I mean, there was the COPD. There's a bunch of diseases that are
right. Yeah, coronary heart disease is also higher in the population that lives closer to the peaker plant, as is stroke, and high cholesterol was higher in the population closer to the peaker plant. However, once I adjusted for all those terms that I had talked about, once I held all of those things constant, it was still higher, but it was no longer significant.
Mm-hmm. Meaning, again, it was close enough that you couldn't distinguish it from on the averages, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I did that comparison for, like I said, for all of these data that come from CDC or for adults, people 18 and older. And the state also provides, separate data for children. So that doesn't come from CDC, but it comes from the state. And that is available on the city or town level. So now I'm then the next comparison I did was moving away from census tracts, but really I was just comparing, PBD, children in PBD to the rest of the state. Mm-hmm. And again, that was interesting. I think what stood out to me from this was looking at asthma in children. The prevalence of asthma in children in PBD is significantly lower than the prevalence of asthma for the rest of the state. However, the rate of emergency department visits for asthma is much higher in PBD than in the state. And so that leads to some interesting questions, you know, including things like access to health insurance, but also the thing that was raised in my mind was, when are these emergency department visits happening? Is there some event? Are they happening at the same time? Are there events that might cause a population that has low prevalence of asthma to then, something's happening, and then they need to go to the emergency department? And so that, I think, is a important question to think more about.
Wow. And just to be clear, we started out talking about a proposed PBD peaker plant that will be operational, unless it can be stopped, or it is planned to be operational sometime, I don't know, in the next year or so. The data that you are referencing here and have studied is basically existing historical data. So this is like the, as you say, the baseline at which now you're going to increase the risk by putting in this new peaker plant, right?
Right. Yep. So you're going to be adding to the types of pollution that, you know, we know are associated with respiratory outcomes and asthma.
Interesting.
So I think this is important to look into.
So tell me this, so you're a scientist, and so I won't ask you to say political things, right? But I mean, we have not yet, the state has not done a health impact statement for whatever reason. Activists on the ground there are demanding both an environmental impact review and a community health impact assessment that it be done, right? But the question for you is, if there was a community health impact assessment, which would be, so you provided a kind of a baseline, right? So, okay, here's what, you know, we look at the data, here's what we see. The state, in a sense, the activists are requesting the state to go and do a much deeper, much more expensive, much bigger study of the health impact. And I guess they would then be projecting the health impact of a peaker plant. Is that, do you know? I mean, do you know about that? And my question is going to get to, what would it take in a health impact statement to derail the peaker plant?
Okay.
And would you have to say everybody's going to die in 2 years and okay, don't build a plant, but.
That's a very, very good question. An important question, I think. Okay. So community health impact assessments are not all done equally. And I think you can look to the example of the Weymouth Compressor Station for two different community health impact assessments that were also called CHIAs. One was done commissioned by the state, and one was done by Physicians for Social Responsibility. They had very different outcomes. Their conclusions were very different. And I don't think that you can say, I don't think that you can necessarily predict, you know, what the outcome of a state commission CHIA would be. I do think it's important, though, to think about the impact of this new proposed peaker plant in addition to the two existing ones, in addition to background levels of air pollutants. And one important thing that's also happening, sorry, is that new air monitors are being installed in Peabody to get a better sense of the current air quality in Peabody. Right now, that's also a big question mark. What is the current state of it? So I do think having those data will help a CHIA or environmental impact report. And as far as what is needed to change a political outcome, I mean, that really varies. And I think how you introduced this topic was talking about community power. And a lot of it comes down to community power. There's not a hard and fast rule of, you know, X amount of increased cancer or coronary heart disease or anything. I think a lot of it, you know, comes down to power.
No, I think I saw in your report that in crafting a community health impact assessment, so now we're talking about what you've done the baseline. We're dreaming about what the state would do with a full up, you know, community health. And I think part of that is, as you just mentioned, is interacting with the community and finding, having a strong voice of the people in Peabody inputting into the community health impact assessment, right? Isn't that fair?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. A CHIA. Yeah. So there are key benchmarks that a CHIA must achieve just by the definition of what it is. And one of those is engagement with the community members, including vulnerable populations. And one thing that I think that my report does is identify who some of those vulnerable populations are, who have the greatest health burdens already, or who have environmental justice burdens already. And so real involvement with those is a must in conducting a CHIA.
Interesting. Well, I think that the So let me say back what I think what the good work you've done. You have looked and used publicly available CDC and state of Massachusetts data to look at the basically how healthy or what kind of diseases might exist close to the power plant, to this proposed peaker plant site, that are already happening, and that community is already having statistically significant, which means distinguishably higher rates of certain important diseases, and COPD, heart disease, stroke, those things are all happening. And that's the baseline that we begin from. And so whatever additional negative impacts, cumulative, I think is the word people throw around, right? Cumulative impacts of putting another power plant in, it's all going to be on top of this stuff that you've already found, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Wow.
So a community health impact assessment. I mean, one thing that it could do is say, well, how much higher, you know, if under, you know, the scenario in which the peaker plant operates at its full, the permitted days that it's allowed to operate, 1,250 hours per year. What does that additional increase in the pollutants that is expected to release into the atmosphere? What's the expected contribution of that to disease rates? Another question that I think should be asked is, well, what if you look at the older peaker plants? What is the expected contribution of those older peaker plants to disease? What if those were not operating? And so, because the technology between those, the existing ones, you know, they're old, they're much older technology than the newer one. So, you know, it's not, I think we should be looking more holistically at, you know, not taking our eye off of the fact that there are other sources of pollution in addition to the new peaker plant.
Right.
But there might be other things that could be modifiable within that community to reduce rates of. To reduce air pollution and reduce rates of disease.
That's a fascinating point because, and again, this is now not a scientific topic, but what you're saying is there's this concept that this natural gas peaker plant bad thing, instead of building that, you could use a battery storage system, which would be clean. But I think by extension, the implication of what you're saying is, yeah, and those two other junky old plants that have been there for 50 years, let's replace them with batteries too and protect Peabody, the people in Peabody, and reduce their exposure, right? So yeah, there you go.
Exactly. So you could model, you know, what would it look like if you took all, you know, if all three of them were replaced by, say, a battery
right,
storage
right,
or
right, right.
whatever. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I think that that's great. I hope that we should put it down there. I think that this is a fascinating report. So tell me, the report is up on the MCAN website. Your report, there's a slide set. There are in fact, social media tweets that have been developed by MCAN that support to communicate out this very interesting message that you've created. And what I'll do is I will put those things in the website, the blog that will be associated with this podcast, right? Okay. And you can find that, the podcast. So here, you got to go down a rabbit hole here. You got to go to the MCAN website, massclimateaction.org. Look across the top, say newsletter and more. You pull that menu down and it says blog and podcast. And you go in there and you'll find this podcast with the various hot links that you can go back and read the report, the well-written report that Catherine has given us. If you have any ideas about a new what other things we should be talking about, please send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Let us know what's important to you. You're probably listening to the show on your smartphone using Stitcher or one of the modern podcast distribution apps. Please ask all of your friends to listen to us on their favorite modern podcast distribution app. We want to thank our good friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. I want to close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. Because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon that respects environmental justice communities. So, Catherine, thank you so much for coming and talking to us and all of your work on this topic.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.